Thank you, God, for the wonderful thing you've done for us. Open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds now. Keep attack of the enemy away, the flesh out of the way. Let us be able to concentrate on what you have to say to your church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, as we've been going through this, has been addressing the spiritual blessings we obtained by becoming part of the church, born-again believers, the body of Christ. We studied last week. We are in the in-group. We're in the right place. We belong to that special people, that group that we've joined when we gave our life to Christ, called the church. We're God's special people. You're special. We're his adopted sons and daughters. What a great family. We've been accepted by him, and we've made our peace with God. We're a blessed people. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have a great inheritance, a glorious future. And then we pick it up in verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We sing a lot of songs about redeemed or redemption. And this is what we read in verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. That's the key, in Jesus, in him. All these things we have because we're in Christ. Because we are his, we attain all these blessings that we've studied and are studying today. We have redemption through his blood. We Christians are a free people. People seek to be free. They battle to be free. We're free. A Christian can be in prison and be free. Isn't that wonderful? Look, it doesn't depend upon location. We're free. Now, the word redemption means ransom in full. Or riddance, getting rid of something. Ransom in full. We're redeemed. A ransom has been paid to set us free. We were purchased by the paying of a price. So if we're ransomed, we've been paid for, we've been set free, it means we were bound. We were in chains. Else we wouldn't be redeemed. There would be no need. But we're redeemed. And guess who paid the price for us? God. And the price was high. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God redeemed you and me by paying a great price. We're his special people. Now, redeemed for what? Or from what? We were redeemed from, and from what? The chains of death. The grip of the devil. From eternal punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we're all sinners. And all have fallen short of the glory of God. It's sad, isn't it? We all start out with a debt. You can't help it. Spiritually, we all start out with a debt in life. And that debt, each one must pay. That each slave to sin must pay. And we're slaves to sin without Christ. The price is so high that we couldn't pay it. There's no way. That's why a person can't earn their way to heaven. They can't be redeemed. The price is too high for man. We start out as unbelievers. We owe a debt. We're bound. Wouldn't it be awful if you were born and you automatically had $500,000 in debt and you'd have to work the rest of your life trying to pay it off? We're born in debt. Spiritually, chained to the devil. Doesn't mean people are devil worshipers, but they're chained to the devil. Death was our master. But once in Christ, in Him, my chains are gone, I've been set free. In the Roman Empire, there were 6 million slaves. So they knew what it was to be a slave. There were 6 million slaves. And often they were bought and sold, just like a piece of furniture. And they were sold to another master. But a man could purchase a slave and set them free. Do you remember years ago where it was a Christian organization that would buy these slave girls and set them free? In certain countries, in Africa, they would set them free to live. And that's what it was like in the Roman Empire. But then a slave could be redeemed, bought, and not set free, but serve as a slave to another master. Could be worse, could be better than what he had. But they could be bought, they could be redeemed, be taken and set free or given over to another master. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we've been set free from that old master, death, Satan, sin, and now we're free to serve another. But freely, we choose to serve another master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's a good master. It's better to serve Him than to not serve Him. You're better off. And one who so dearly loves us. And now, what we have is a loving relationship with our Redeemer and not a legal one like they had. We have a loving relationship. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Silver and gold couldn't redeem anyone. A person can't buy their way out of Satan's grip and into God's hand. See, a life was required because life is in the blood, so blood was required. The precious, I love that it says the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, it saves, it redeems. He died in my place. My chains are gone. I've been set free. If you have come to Jesus, can you feel the freedom that you're not bound? And if you can't, then you need to let go of the old life. Have the joy of Christ. Don't waste the day. Don't waste the minute. You've been set free. You've given your life to Christ. And we have freedom. We're not bound. We're free not to be bound to anything. We've been set free. Delivered. Galatians chapter 1, just before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We should have peace. Who gave Himself, Jesus, for our sins, that He might deliver us, redeem us, deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. We've been delivered from this evil place. We're not bound to it anymore. We're not chained to it. Our joy doesn't have to come from the world. It comes from the Lord. We're free. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us. Again, we're delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed. We've been delivered from the power. Darkness had power over us. Don't let it have power over you anymore. Get rid of this sin. Enjoy your freedom. We don't have to be chained to darkness anymore. We're free in the Lord. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, Jesus' death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. We should no longer be slaves to sin. We've been set free. Our old man was crucified with Him. Don't pick it up again. You know, John 8:36 says, who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. A person won't be free until the Son sets them free. People try and find freedom in different things. You know, like I've said before, wherever you go, there you are. It's not going to be a place or a thing that's going to set you free. It's the Lord. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But remember, your old man was crucified with Him, nailed to the cross. If we sin now, we choose to do it. We don't have to. We're not bound to it anymore. So back to our text, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. And then we have forgiveness of sins according to His riches and grace, God's amazing grace. We've been redeemed, we've been set free because we're in Christ, and we now have forgiveness of sins. We've gone over this before. Christians are a forgiven people. We're forgiven. God's mercy and grace, we've been forgiven. We're clean in His sight. When we understand these things, we should be eager to share them. We should want to share them with other people. We're a blessed people. We're a rich people. We don't want to hide it. We don't want to put our faith or our light under a bushel basket, like it tells us. We want the world to see it. We don't want to go on living in the world as if we don't know the Lord. People need to see us and what we have. People need to know they can be forgiven. People are bound to sin. They need to know they can, those chains can be broken and they can live. Christ paid the price for our sin. He became our sacrifice for sins. He did that on the cross. Our sins are washed away. As we sin now, we confess, we repent, and He washes us. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus suffered and died and paid for that sin, which I would have had to pay. Because if a person dies with that debt and doesn't come to Jesus, they'll be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. I'd rather have it paid off while I'm here. And it can only be paid off by Jesus. Our debt's been paid. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. First John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word means atoning sacrifice. Jesus became our payment for the debt we had. He became our atoning sacrifice. He paid the price. That's love. He loved us and paid the price for our sins. You know, you might do something for a nice person, but wouldn't it be hard to do something for a person that murdered your child? See, that's love. Unconditional love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He wants all to be saved. That's love. He became the propitiation for our sins. We could go on and on about that every week, every year, the same message about what Jesus has done for us. And it'd probably take that long to really get it. Because we leave here and we get back into our lives and we forget what we have. Someone really loves us. And that's the Lord. And yet we forget that. We get caught up with this world, with this life, and get our focus on other things and other people and other business, and we forget God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. Give his life for us so we could live, have our debt paid, and go to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. Jesus is our Savior. You know, speaking spiritually, we born again Christians are debt free. Isn't that great? I wish that transferred into the world, but you know, if you could do a funds transfer, that'd be nice, but we're debt free spiritually. We don't owe anything. We're free. God says so. You know, the bottom line on our statement with God, the bottom line on the statement is balance due zero. Don't you love those kind of statements? Balance due zero. You know, it seems even after you pay off a card or something, they still send you statements every month. Just got one this past week, and I love it. You open up, balance due zero. Ah, oh, those are great. That's where we are. No debt. Ever heard the words scapegoat? I hope you've never been one. Everybody puts the blame on you. There are scapegoats, people that take the blame. Maybe in the place you worked, you were the scapegoat. They laid it all on you because they had to do it with someone. It's the one who bears all the blame and suffers the penalty. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the greatest day in the Jewish calendar, it occurs in our September-October time frame, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. It talks about a scapegoat, and that's what they remember. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 16, please. Leviticus chapter 16. You know, this was a holy time for forgiveness of sins, and they would first cleanse the holy place and the high priest. And then something else took place. A big deal. Like it's a big deal with us. The sin issue had to be taken care of. Leviticus 16, verse 20. They offered, you know, one goat and killed it and used the blood of the goat and cleansed the holy place and all. But then there was another goat which was alive. Verse 20, Leviticus 16. And when he had made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins. So he would lay his hands on the live goat and confess all the sins of the people, putting them on the head of the goat. And then he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Now, isn't that interesting? You know what it's pointing to? The Messiah. See, they had a scapegoat. He would lay his hands on that goat, confess all the sins of the people, and then let the goat go into the wilderness to never be seen again. In other words, taking all the sin away from the people. But it was all laid on the head of that goat. Now, let's turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4. It was pointing to the Messiah. All these things were pointing to the fulfillment in the Messiah. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Speaking of the coming Messiah at that time, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid on him the iniquity of us all, just like the high priest did on that goat. It was all laid on Jesus. And those who live and believe in him are now saved. You know, one day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." There he is, the Lamb of God, the scapegoat. He's our scapegoat, Jesus. So because we are in Christ, we're in the right group. Back to our text, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now it says, which he has showered down upon us, made to abound toward us, for he has all wisdom and understanding. He gives us wisdom and understanding of these wonderful spiritual blessings, sharing them with us now. You know, God made these things abound to us, all these blessings, and all wisdom and prudence, so that we know them, we can believe in them, and God is all wise. Having made known to us, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in himself. What it's saying is God has revealed to us, believers, the mystery of his will concerning us. That word mystery, we've shared before in the New Testament, doesn't mean a mystery like we know a mystery. It means a sacred secret. A secret once hidden, but now revealed. Revealed to a people. Something that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament, but is now revealed in the New Testament. God has a time for everything. Revealed to us, his saints, believers, God's good plan. His will has been revealed to us. A plan he had, as we studied last week, before the foundation of the world. It was a plan to fulfill his good pleasure, his purpose. And basically, it's this, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. What he's revealing to us is that God is going to bring everything in heaven and on earth under the authority of Christ. We believers are part of this plan. We're called the church, which was not known in the Old Testament. But he's revealed this to us in the New Testament, the church, this group of special people that's going to be united with Christ in Christ. We believers are part of that plan. Jews, Greek, male, female, different races, colors, all in Christ are part of this group God is speaking of. A people not bound by race or location or color, but we're called in Christ. We're called his church and are subject to him. He's revealed that to us. But it says here, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. And one day, God is going to bring everything on heaven, in heaven and on earth, under the authority of Christ. And we know that'll happen in the millennium. Not only we, the church, but everyone will be under the authority of Christ in that day. That was God's plan. It starts with us. In the dispensation of times, it means when it all comes together through the church age, we are in through the tribulation into the millennium, Jesus reigns. Jew and Gentile, all who believe in Jesus, the whole body will be complete. The redeemed, forgiven, all the glory goes to God. And one day, but one day, in that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day. Today they may mock you. They may say you're narrow and foolish, but one day, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Turn it to Philippians chapter 2. One day, Philippians 2:9. Therefore God has also has highly exalted and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This does not speak of universal salvation one day. There are people that get doctrines like this, that everybody's going to be okay and go to heaven. Because the Bible teaches that one day everything will be under the authority of Christ. We know that'll happen in the millennium. It does not mean universal salvation, but universal dominion. He will rule. He will be the head, and all will be under him, but not in him. But not in him. Because their wages for sin wasn't paid for. You see, but everyone will bow their knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the head. This is God's plan and will, his good pleasure. Colossians 1, verse 19. Colossians 1, verse 19. Colossians 1, 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, people that have come to him and the cross. We believers know these things. And it tells us that here in verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will. This is God's will. We already know what God is going to do. We know what he's going to do. He's going to put Christ as the authority, and all will be under him. Even those who reject him now will have to bow. I'd rather do it willingly. See, God made this previously unknown mystery known to us, and we know by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. You know, those people that don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, they don't know these things. When we share with unbelievers or people that don't know the Lord, they don't know what we're talking about because they're spiritually discerned. They can know what's required for salvation, but once we get into things, they don't know these things. They're spiritually discerned. If they're not in, that's how you know if a person's born again. You can have a conversation with them and they know what you're talking about. You talk to other people, say, well, don't you get it? You know what the answer is? No, they don't get it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They may say they're a Christian, but they're not born again. You see? Great things ahead because we're in Christ and we know these things. How sad to be blind to God's plan of redemption and salvation, forgiveness. You and I are blessed because we've chosen Jesus. We've had amazing grace happen to us. It's been revealed to us. One day, I did not know this, what I'm talking about. Though I knew of God, I knew of Jesus and religious things, but literally I was blind. I did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling me. I could have talked about God or Jesus. You know, I did not have the Holy Spirit teaching me. I couldn't believe it once I was a Christian, when I picked up the Bible, and I could understand a lot. It's a miracle, because once I was blind, but now I see. And see, it tells us here in Ephesians, God revealed this stuff of His will and what He's going to do to we, the church, His believers. But the world doesn't know that. That's why we can't get too theological with people when we're sharing. We need to be evangelical. We need to share the cross, the first baby step, the gospel. And then let faith be planted. God draw them and let them give themselves to the Lord and be born again. And then they will see. It doesn't mean they can't see, but it means they don't now. But we do. That's why we can never feel superior. Like, well, I'm smarter, or I know more. No, your eyes have been opened. Remember, we've been taken out of darkness into the light. And now we need to share that with other people, that there is more. I did not have those things because I wasn't surrendered to God's plan of salvation. I had my own plans, and I thought I was okay. But I was blind. I am so glad I'm not blind and I'm going to heaven. So it's wrong for us to say to unbelievers, don't you see it? Don't you get it? You know, it would be as if we were speaking to a blind person and said, well, didn't you see that sign? Well, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I can't see. You know, this is why we share God's plan of salvation and pray for people to come to the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 6. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For if it is the God, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, they're blinded by the God of this age, Satan. They can't see. What a wonderful thing it is to come across a person whose eyes have been opened, isn't it? Wow, they get it. It's a spiritual battle out there. And we need to use spiritual warfare. We can't get upset or short with people. We need to pray for them. They're not going to see the way we see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. First Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, for our glory. He had this mystery the church planned all along, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew, oh, this is the Messiah and God's going to have a church, they wouldn't have crucified him. But they're blinded. But that is as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if you stop at that verse, in which most people do, you mistranslate it. To me, we have these glorious things waiting for us that we know nothing about, such great things from God. Because it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Sounds like that, doesn't it, if we stopped right there? But read the next verse. It's talking about what we're talking about today. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see how it works? See, as we read in Ephesians, God has revealed it to us, even the future plans. And in this verse we read in 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things which God prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That's why we can be excited. We know what God has for us and how glorious heaven is and all the great things. That's our hope, our eternal hope. It'd be awful if he didn't reveal them to us. We'd kind of wonder. Well, what would excite us? What excites us is I've been redeemed, I've been forgiven, and God's revealed to me all the great things ahead. Now, what exactly it's like there, we don't know those things, but we know what lies ahead, for God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, and they're spiritually discerned. But the natural man cannot receive that. You see, they are foolishness to him. And I think we can say amen. Because when I share things with them, they say I'm foolish. And so when someone says, you really believe that stuff? Say, yeah, and you don't because you're foolish in the Bible, and that proves the Bible to be true. But I don't think you want to say that to them, but it's just proving it to ourselves. So we didn't get down on ourselves. That, you know, it's not that I'm incapable or not presenting it right or don't know what God has for me and all. It's just that they can't get it. They can't until they come to Christ. You see how blessed we are? God says, I'm going to reveal to you what I have for you. And I've got a great life for you so that one day when you're feeling down and sorry for yourself and getting back in the world, you'll get rearranged and get back with me and love the Lord and know how great things are and how blessed you are, that you're not poor. You're not a little poor orphan out there in the world. You got a great family. You've been forgiven of your sin. You've been redeemed. I bought you because I love you with the precious blood of the Lamb. And there's a lot of great things ahead. We are a blessed people. Praise the Lord. We've got a secret. You see, we can say, I've got a secret, but it's a secret that God wants me to share with the world. Close with this. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him, on Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to share the word of salvation so people can at least hear that there is hope, that they can become part of this group, and then be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then know exactly what God has for them. Thus, we leave here today knowing we're blessed, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, and we're God's special people, and He shared with us a secret, and how great that is. Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful grace toward us. We thank You that Your love for us never fails. We thank You, Lord, for revealing to us all these great things. But we have a tendency as human beings to forget them, to forget where our home is, where we're headed, what we have waiting for us, who we have to guide us now in life. Lord, our minds become clouded and attacked by the enemy, by the flesh, by the world. And Lord, we pray for victory. We pray for right thinking. We pray we're sober-minded, long-suffering, faithful, stable. We pray, Lord, we never give up. We pray that we share, we preach, we lead people to You so that You can teach them. Help us, Lord. Help us to fulfill our commission while here on earth. Help us to use our time wisely to bear fruit for Your kingdom. Lord, give us patience in dealing with others. Give us loving hearts. Give us wisdom in words we share. Open doors, Lord, that have been closed. All of us pray for those in our life that don't know You. They need You, Lord. They're resistant. Do what You must to break them down and to soften their heart. Make them willing. Give them a desire to be willing, Lord. Open them up to listen and reveal Yourself to them. Give them the faith to believe and draw them into Your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.